Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
The little stream that my brother and I called the Brook spilled over the dam that had created Westlake Reservoir and then flowed downhill to Middleton's Pond before spilling over the dam at the other end of Middleton's Pond and taking a long meandering flow downhill. Before going through a culvert under Route 6, and then to Kenosha Lake, where it disappeared. My brother and I probably walked, climbed, or played over every inch of that brook, which was actually 4 or 5 miles long, and at some points going gently, and some points dropping rapidly, going downhill. So following that, sometimes with our cousins or friends, we would have all kinds of childhood adventures. But if anyone in that part of town referred to the brook, that stream that wound its way through woods and fields was what they were talking about. As an adult, I have camped on the shores of lakes like that described by E.B. White in Once More to the Lake, both in tents and in cabins. One summer, over the course of a week, I many times canoed from one end of one such lake to the other and back again over and over and over. It was a combination of cardio exercise and meditation. Another time, I've unrolled my sleeping bag on the banks of the Big Sur River in the mountains above the California coast. Relatively upstream, not that impressive or powerful, but by the time it reached the coast, a mighty river. And I've stood within sight of the seawalls in Long Branch, New Jersey, as hurricane-driven waves have pounded these stone and masonry walls and driven raging water over the walls onto the city's streets. And yes, slow learner that I am, I have body surfed in post-hurricane waves on the coast of Maine. Tranquil streams and the lakes they fill and flow from and the pounding waves of the ocean are sort of the waters of my life. But there are other kinds of waters as well, roaring rivers and calm oceans and plunging waterfalls. And I've experienced those as well, but those tranquil streams, the pounding waves, and the small lakes and ponds stick in my memory and tell me something about life. For they can serve as metaphors for life or for periods or episodes within a lifetime. Tranquil streams, slowly meandering, speak to me of the times when life moves along, not uneventfully, but without great disruptions or struggles. Streams gently spilling downhill over rocks or moving more slowly between the banks in the woods or in fields. Streams filling a pond or lake at one end like Middleton's Pond and then carrying the excess water downhill from the other end. And then there are pounding waves, large and powerful, crashing on rocks or washing away the sand on a beach. Pounding waves even collapsing streets above the usual high water line in coastal towns. From one summer to the next, at the town on the coast of Maine, where I used to spend a lot of time when I was younger, we watched a whole street disappear between one summer and the next. And sometimes, just sometimes, a quiet lake or tidal pool, like that one in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont that I mentioned, where one can paddle back and forth without getting carried away. So we know that water is a source of life, that life came from the great primordial ocean. And we know that the women who devised the first water communion in 1980 emphasized that reality. The water each brought symbolized life in the place they brought it from. A pond, the ocean, a stream, whatever place it came from. The water was a source of life, and it symbolized life. And the women gathered at that conference emphasized the connections of life. They reflected on how all streams ultimately flow to the sea. That all life is connected. And this reminded me of the Buddhist idea that George Takei spoke about when he was here almost a year ago, of all of being, of life, like an ocean. It is like an ocean, that life is a great sea, and we as individuals, our lives, are waves that appear out of that for a time but never leave it, and then disappear back into it and dissolve into the great body of life that the water represents. Water, however, can represent danger as well as life and love and good things and growth. The power and beauty of great waves crashing on rocks and beaches and seawalls can also be dangerous. The undertow can suck a person below the surface and carry her or him far from the shore. I've gotten caught in a couple of undertows in my life, and I'd rather not do it again. The waves can wash away beaches and build them up elsewhere. And they will, over years and years, wear down rocks. But they can also quickly move the rocks and change the shape of the shore. And a wave can appear suddenly and take a person or pier from a pier or a seawall, and no one ever sees him or her ever again. There's a plaque in one of the churches I once served that was a memorial to a father and son. I forget the first name, but it was a senior and a junior. The last name was Von Wetter. And they were at the sea, and in an instant they were both washed away and never seen again. And there's this whole story is written on a plaque on the wall of the church of which they were both members. So the pounding ocean waves can slowly but sometimes precipitously change the shape of the shore and make the landscape and the seascape one knows so well become unfamiliar. And then an event can strike a life, and here we're turning the metaphor to life. An event can strike a life like a pounding wave, like a wave so powerful that knocks one down and threatens to carry one out to sea emotionally, if not physically. Like a wave that changes the shape of the shore that had been so familiar. There can be a wave that pounds on life. It makes it unfamiliar. Like the terrorist attacks 15 years ago today. And what happens when a person is caught in such a wave? In the ocean, one cannot swim properly or control the direction of movement. One may not even be able to stay above water. One's strength is strained to the utmost. One may not survive, but if one gets to shore, he or she is exhausted. Now, maybe I've overdone the metaphor. Water can be a symbol of the life, and life can also be a symbol of death, but then life and death go together. We try to keep our lives peaceful and smoothly flowing. But it always doesn't work that way, does it? So it was fire and not water that rained down on September 11th, 2001, but it left many disoriented and lost, some for a short time, some to this very day. On the 10th anniversary of the attacks, I was at the time minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church in Meriden, Connecticut, interim minister, and we had an interfaith service at the Congregational Church. As part of that service, I read this poem by Brett Axel. I've used it here once or twice before, from a book of poems he wrote around the time and following the attacks on the Trade Center. It's called High Time, I Say. And it begins with the disorientation and then an understanding of something coming out of that tragedy. It's taken me this long just to get the idea that people are really dead. One of those people could have been any friend or family or a stranger. A stranger I might have met one day and loved. Or you. The next disaster could take you from me before I got to love you. Think of the people already that I never got to love. I don't want to wait until I know you to tell you how I have felt all this time. I love you now. I need to tell you now. Tomorrow may be too late. 5 minutes from now might be too late for you to hear me tell you and mean it that I love you. Very, very much. That you are dear to me. All my friends. All my family. And all my strangers. So let us pause in silence for a minute or two to remember those who died that day and the first responders and others who have died since due to injuries and illnesses attributed to the event and the cleanup that followed. We will light this candle in their memory. Now come back from that reflection and hear another story. Less than a year after the attacks, while the World Trade Center site was still being cleaned up, some of the businesses had started opening again, the offices and the stores, and I was on Day Street between Church and Broadway. There, within sight of the ruins of what had once been New York City's two tallest structures, were men and women taking breaks on the sidewalk from the office buildings and the stores, and right across from Century 21, the discount department store. And this was just a little less than a year after the attacks. One young woman dressed for business was seated on a outcrop of the building across the street eating her lunch. Others were standing outside smoking. Shoppers were chatting and comparing their bargains. A young man took off his jacket, spread it on the sidewalk as a prayer rug, and bowed toward Mecca in prayer. At a time when our government was sweeping up South Asians in Brooklyn, on that one day, no one of the hundreds of New Yorkers bothered this young Muslim as he offered his regular prayers within sight of, literally a block or two from, where the Twin Towers had once stood. For some people, the pounding wave had subsided or begun to subside. And I remember that scene so vividly because it spoke to the possibility of healing and sharing in this nation. And in his story, Once More to the Lake, E.B. White tells us a place where there is calm and peace from his childhood and then for his son, but also a bit of adventure, a lake in the mountains. He takes his son to a place where he had gone as a child and finds reaffirmation and even a sense of peace, and even a sense of peace in the fact that his son was sneaking around doing the stuff he had done when he was young. So in Mingling Waters, in today's ritual, you bring the adventures, the challenges, and the joys of your lives to this place. And some of you arrived this morning with peace in your heart, and some of you with turmoil. Perhaps some of you even in deep pain, and certainly in deep worry. In this religious community, you can individually and together find a place where what is good in life is affirmed, and what is painful can be healed and nursed. And to be sure, it is not always tranquil here, but it is always safe and loving. There are waves, and they are mostly gentle, like the ripples of the lake, but not always. Sometimes the waters do need to be stirred up, and sometimes we need to be stirred to action. So tranquil streams, pounding waves, and occasionally a restful lake or pond side. May you find in your lives the waters that heal your soul. Amen.